And welcome to a Friday evening version of Bulls Beat. A little bit different because, hey, we're unlimited. We can change things from time to time. And normally, Bulls Beat is on in the morning, early afternoon. But with today being the first day of fall practice for Jeff Scott, and knowing that we'd hear from Coach Scott right around noontime and a trio of quarterbacks, I wasn't going to hold on to all of that until Monday's show, so decided to move it to Friday night. We had a chance, we being the media, to watch about a half hour of the beginning of practice, as I put out on Twitter, by the way, and you could always follow me at Derek Sharp, DarekSharp. I've never been so excited to watch people stretch. It didn't take long for it to feel like a normal football practice, thanks to the weather. But yeah, certainly things felt a little bit different. There was a genuine enthusiasm. The music wasn't quite as blaring, but it was still pretty upbeat style of music. And certainly one thing that was noticeable was that everybody was wearing masks that didn't have a helmet on. And as you'll hear in our second segment from one of the three quarterbacks who spoke to the media afterwards, Jordan McLeod, Kate Fortin, and in this case, Noah Johnson, that is a big mandate. As a matter of fact, in his opening statement, Jeff Scott, after a couple of minutes of some very well-earned thank yous that you're going to hear, got around to some news involving, well, the team when it comes to positive tests for COVID, along with a couple of individuals who, because of COVID concerns, are opting out of this season. Plenty of Coach Scott coming up, but this is his opening statement. It's a good one. It's a long one. And it was right after he walked off the field for his first fall practice.
All right. Well, first of all, it's great to be back on the field. Exactly 150 days from our first and only spring practice. And, you know, I started our meetings last night. Yesterday was report day, and I started our meetings, team meeting, really just thanking our players for their commitment and the way that they handled themselves the last 150 days. There's been a lot of challenges, and this group has really handled themselves in a first-class manner. And maybe sometimes when you come into a program there's a changeover in staff and those things, maybe you, as a coach, assume you're going to have a lot of player issues to deal with. And honestly, we've had zero player issues in the last 150 days. And so I'm just really proud of that group. And, you know, before I get into my practice comments, you know, I want to start off really by thanking a lot of the people that have allowed an opportunity like today to happen safely. And you know, over the last, again, 5 months, starting with Dr. Donna Peterson, who is the head here at the University of South Florida. She's in charge of our COVID response, and just her leadership and communication with Steve Walls, our director of sports medicine, Michael Kelly. I mean, it's been daily, just all the different calls and meetings that all of them have been. Yuri, all of our trainers, our strength coaches were out here literally 7 hours a day for 2 months because we had to split up our workouts into groups of 20. And there's just so many people that have dedicated a lot of time to find a way to keep our players and staff safe and have an opportunity to get back on the practice field. So I couldn't be more pleased. I think you learn a lot about the people around you when you face adversity. So with myself being a new coach coming in, I got 20 new coaches and families that have moved down to the Tampa area. I've learned a lot about the leadership here at our university, leadership in our athletic department, and leadership within our football program, and I just couldn't be more pleased. You know, over the last 2.5 months, we've done 514 tests with players, coaches, and staff, and we have zero players that are out in quarantine due to a positive test or contact tracing, so really pleased with that. Over the 2.5 month period, we have had 24 positives, and there's been a protocol that these guys have followed, and our medical staff have done an excellent job with all of the testing. I also would be remiss not to mention USF Health. Having them in our backyard has been a huge asset and resource, and Dr. Corris has been over here daily looking at our procedures and being sure that we're doing everything we can to keep our young men and staff as safe as possible. I've had two players that have come to see me that have voluntarily decided to opt out due to some COVID-related concerns. John Waller, defensive lineman, and Jannard Phillips, wide receiver. And the biggest things that I told them was, number one, I support them 100%. This is a personal decision that each and every one of our young man players and coaches have to make. And each player and coach has different situations going on. So number one, I told them I support them. And number two, definitely told them that they're going to be able to remain on scholarship and in good standing with our team. You know, I really like this team day one. You know, there's definitely a little bit of rust with it being 150 days since we've been out there. But really what you look for as a coach is just the spirit of your team. And these guys were genuinely excited to get back out there on the field. I mean, I had to slow them down because y'all may have seen it. We were going to walk through and they were already ready to go to flex. And I had to tell them, you know, to kind of slow down. And that's what you look for as a coach. You want to see if these guys are excited and engaged. And, you know, they have really bought in. And I'm just very hopeful that we'll be able to continue to find a safe and healthy way for these guys to continue practice and ultimately find a way to be able to play some games this fall.
More on that very last point in a few minutes as far as when and if there will be games. But it was, first of all, right for him to thank all the medical personnel that put their wears on display in such a tough time. I know that USF Health was part of where I got my test done last month, and it was just so well done and great to hear that. Then, as you heard, two dozen players at some point over the last couple of months plus have at some point tested positive, but we are at the point now where everyone is clear to go. And the two players that are not going to play this season, as you just heard him mention, one is from Admiral Farragut, John Waller, who got into five games last year after taking a redshirt his freshman season. And Jannard Phillips is a graduate student. He caught 14 passes. That was his career high in 2018. Four starts last year with five catches. So both of those young men are going to take off the season. And understandably so, as you just heard, it's happening all over the country right now. A couple of examples right here with the Bulls. Now, I don't know about you, but when you get to go back to your office, your place of work, as opposed to doing everything virtually, are you going to set your alarm for 4 o'clock?
So I set my alarm for 5 a.m., and I woke up at 4 a.m., and I was hoping when I looked over it would say 5 a.m., and it said 4 a.m., and I literally just got up and went and took a shower. And got. I mean, it's just, you know, just so many things going on, and yes, you are excited. To me, usually I'm excited the first day of practice because I get to see our players and kind of evaluate, because we don't get to see them throw balls and catch and do all that stuff. But to be honest, after everything that our young men and coaches and players have been through in the last 150 days, I was excited just to see the smile on their face, to see them with a helmet on and over there having fun. Like, that to me was more important than any of the X and O's and execution and all that. Just to see the guys, because it's tough. I mean, they've been behind that computer screen for a long time. And, you know, these guys have played ball since they were 5 years old. So it's been very challenging for them. So just to see them smile. The only other person that was as happy as them was my daughter, Savannah. She got to go to gymnastics yesterday for the first time since Clemson. So she was fired up last night when I got home. I had to watch all the videos. And so, I mean, it was kind of very similar feeling, seeing these guys be able to get back after a long time.
And he alluded to it there as far as what the goal of the first practice is, kind of is right now, not so much X's and O's.
Learning how to practice, learning how to get on and off the field, learning how to flex the right way, learning how to turn and chase the football, just creating championship habits. That's really been the number one focus. The X's and O's, those aren't as important right now as learning, again, how we do what we do. It's not what we do, it's how we do it, right? And so that's really what our focus is right now, and getting great effort, guys turning and chasing the ball. And then if we can get that and let that be our standard, you know, then we're going to have a chance to have the success we'd like to have.
And from the part that I was able to witness, again, you can check out some photos and videos that I put out at Derek Sharp, DarekSharp. Everyone looked like they knew where they were going. There was some hitting the sled going on underneath the tent. By the way, that's where I would vote to do all of my drills, in the shade. But either way, one of the coaches was yelling, "Get that belt buckle on the ground." So if you think about that, visualizing you're pushing down in a squat and bursting up into those sleds, they're getting good instruction, that is for certain. Now, we, of course, need to hear some names, right? Some of the newcomers that might have made an impression. Granted, it was the first day. Granted, no one is wearing pads until early next week. But here are a couple of names for you.
You know, it was good. It was a lot of things going on. There was guys that made some plays. You know, as far as newcomers, you know, Mitchell Brinkman is a tight end that came and joined us this spring. He made a really nice catch in one of the Pascal sessions. Latrell Williams, young man that sat out last year, had a really good day today. There was guys that flashed all over the place. You know, I really like our freshman class. We got some, number one, first-class young men, and number two, some good players that we're going to be able to build as we go with that 2020 class.
Brinkman certainly is an interesting case because, of course, the Bulls lose Mitchell Wilcox, and he had 34 catches last year at Northern Illinois. Got a lot of experience. On the other end of the experience situation is Williams, but you keep hearing about the speedster from Lake City. Had a 1,000-yard receiving senior season at Columbia High School, and that got him a scholarship with Tennessee. Redshirted, and then just played in one game each of his next 2 years. Then he transferred to Independence Community College in Kansas prior to last spring, and then never played there before coming to USF. So he is probably eager to make some plays, and it sounds like he is. I know Xavier Dye, the receiver coach back when we had him on, mentioned him as well, as did Charlie Weiss. Now, the first several questions were about quarterback, and I'm always trying to not be like everybody else, which is just talk about one thing. But yes, we have to bring up the quarterback competition. In our next segment, as a matter of fact, you will hear from all three that are in the running for the quarterback spot, but here's the head coach on that.
The fact that we didn't have a spring does not change the fact that everything's an open competition. You know, I had a visit with our quarterbacks today, and I shared some previous experiences that I had with Deshaun Watson coming in January as a mid-year, and we had a veteran reserve in Cole Stout that had been there for 4 years waiting his turn. And Deshaun's a very talented freshman that came in. We went through entire spring practice with those guys competing. They had summer skills and drills. And then we went through fall camp. Those guys competed. And then it took the fourth game before Deshaun ended up winning the starting job. So I was telling our quarterbacks, if you think about that, you know, we didn't even have a spring practice. We weren't able to do the regular skills and drills. And so, you know, the biggest thing is really just for everybody to worry about, you know, developing themselves and getting the fundamentals and all those things down and letting it take care of itself. And I know it's a good problem to have. It's good to have three quarterbacks. We'll learn more about the freshmen. Those guys got here. But I honestly feel, as of today, and I didn't see anything at practice that would change my mind, that we have three quarterbacks that could lead our program to a successful season. And that's not always the case. So that's really good, but it also creates, you know, a lot of decisions. And, you know, the biggest comments that I gave those guys is, hey, we're going to have a great quarterback competition. We're not going to have a quarterback controversy. We're going to have a quarterback competition. And also after Deshaun, we had Trevor Lawrence came in. And then we had Kelly Bryant been there, started the year before. It went the same way. Came in mid-year and went through all spring practice, all skills and drills in the summer, all fall camp, and then Trevor won the game after won the job after the fourth game. So those are two potential NFL Hall of Famers, and it took them four games in for us to be able to figure that out. So, you know, right now there'll be plenty of time for that, and ultimately the character of those three guys will make it a true quarterback competition and nothing more than that.
So no, he was not going to reveal his starting quarterback today or tomorrow or maybe even until we get close to the season. When is that going to be? As we discussed on Thursday's show, as you know by now, each of the potential first three games on the schedule might not happen. We definitely know game two, September the 12th against Bethune-Cookman, won't happen because they're not playing football. September the 5th, it's not official yet, but it does, by all reports, seem that Texas is just going to stay with an in-state university foe, and that's UTEP, because they only get one non-conference game. It's either UTEP or the Bulls, and that's the would-be season opener. And then September 19th was all of a sudden thrown into big question with the Mountain West Conference announcing late Wednesday that its teams are not going to start playing until September the 26th. And of course, Nevada was the Bulls' opponent coming to Raymond James Stadium on September the 19th. So as of now, it looks like the season is going to start September the... As of now, the first game that we know is going to happen... Wait a second. Let me back up and say it's all relative, and it's all with the understanding that when I say we know this game is going to happen, things could change. But we hope September 26th is the first game on the schedule that will be played as scheduled, and that's at FAU. But I can tell you that there's a good chance that there will be a game, maybe multiple games, but I'm guessing one for sure, added to the schedule, and those game or games would be at home. Obviously, we'll keep you informed of that. But the question now to Jeff Scott on this day was, do you think you guys are going to play on September the 5th?
I'm confident, but that's just because I'm a positive thinker, just naturally, right? And, you know, what I've learned, kind of like we tell our players, everybody has a role, right? That left tackle, do your job, right? That quarterback, do your job. That wideout, do your job. Well, my job as the head coach is to get our players ready so that whenever Michael Kelly and the leadership and everybody says, here's our games, we're going to go play, we're going to be ready. And if for some reason they get delayed or we don't, then, hey, we'll adjust from that. But that's really the mindset that I've taken, is just to really get our guys ready. And I've told, because, of course, you can imagine what all of them are thinking. They're seeing everything. They have their own questions. So I've really tried to get them just to stay focused on what we're doing here and now. And, you know, our mindset's been, hey, anytime, anybody, anywhere, whatever it is, let's go play. And one thing I will share with you is kind of funny. Last night, with all the talk about the schedule, at the very end of my talk, I kind of gave the State of the Union address to the team. It was about 9 o'clock. We were finishing up. And I told the guys, I said, all right, I got a big announcement. All y'all been asking. All right, I've got our schedule, our final schedule for this year. Y'all ready to see it? Well, they all, you know, half of them woke up right there. Right, and I clicked the button. It had all our dates, and it had USF logo right there next to every one of those dates. Right, and the mentality is we play ourselves, you know, 12 times a year. Right, we play ourselves. It's not about who you play, WHO. It's about how you play, HOW. And when you keep that internal focus, then you don't worry. You don't play up or down. Right, I dealt with that at Clemson, the famous Clemsoning deal, and all that before Coach Sweeney took over. You know, we would, you know, beat number two Florida State and then lose to a 2-10 team the next week or something. And it wasn't consistent because we were worried about our opponent. Coach Sweeney did a great job of getting our staff and players to realize it's not about the opponent, it's about ourselves. And so let's worry about us. We play ourselves. If we don't beat ourselves, right, we got an opportunity to win no matter who we play. That's our mindset. So I was trying to make the point to the team, hey, don't worry about all that. Leave that for Michael Kelly and everybody to figure out. We'll let you know when we know. But at the end of the day, it's not going to matter. They're going to put 11 guys out there, and we're going to get an opportunity to go play football. So that's really kind of been our message to our guys.
And one more from Coach Scott on this Friday after the first fall practice. Again, his second practice, just about 5 months in between. Hard to believe that it all got called off after just one spring session. And this is, hey, listen, there's the chance anyway, and something you might have to plan for, of some players testing positive. And what if it's a group? And what if you have to have players maybe go both ways? KJ Sales, I know, has put out there on social media that, hey, don't be surprised if I tote the pill a little bit on offense, but this might have to be out of necessity.
We've talked about that a little bit. Really, where we are right now is we have 110 players that are practicing, so almost four at every position. And maybe in a typical fall camp, you would only work your first two groups and a little bit of your third group. And really, as a coaching staff, we decided from the very first practice, we're going to rep all four groups and get all four guys ready. Now, it's not the same amount of reps, but we're going to be more intentional about trying to have four deep. And then, you know, as things happen and we get shorter at some positions, I mean, we are talking right now about some guys that could fill some other places. but really with the first day, you want to get kind of 1 week in before you start cross training some guys. But I think you would probably cross train a safety at corner or a corner at safety or maybe a wide out at running back or vice versa first before you would get into the defense and offense, just because there are so many things that have to be taught. But we are keeping that on our radar. And as I'm kind of evaluating the athleticism, I'm kind of keeping a little list, but it's nothing that we've done with our guys quite yet.
And that was how his session wrapped up with the media. So great to hear from him. And by the way, Carsten Whitson, who is the volunteer assistant baseball coach, saw my picture of Coach Scott with the gold hat that said USF on it. He wants that hat. I think the gold is great. And who knows, maybe we'll see a little bit more of that into the South Florida uniforms this year. Coming up next, three of the Bulls' quarterbacks, the three that are battling for number one spot, will go in order of how they were presented to us, so I'm not playing any favorites with the order. In order, you will hear Jordan McLeod, Cade Fortin, and Noah Johnson, and some other notes from other sports as we send you into the weekend here on Bulls Beat. Stay tuned.